Goldfinger. It is probable that Midas did not believe that anything would come of this exchange. The gods were notorious for dodging, twisting, and sliding out of their obligations. Nevertheless, just in case, after all, what harm could it do? I mean, one never knows. That night, Midas poured a few hogsheads from his diminishing store of wine into the royal bath. The fumes from it ensured that when he went to bed, he enjoyed a deep and untroubled sleep. He awoke to a sparkling morning that cast all ideas of wild wishes and drunken gods from his mind. With thoughts only for his flowers, he sprang from bed and hurried to his beloved garden. Never had the roses looked more beautiful. He leant down and sniffed a pink young hybrid that was in that perfect state midway between bud and full bloom. The exquisite fragrance made him giddy with joy. He lovingly made to unfurl the petals. In an instant, the stem and flower had been transformed into gold, solid gold. Midas stared in disbelief. He touched another rose, and then another. The moment his fingers touched them, they turned to gold. He ran up and down the garden in a whooping frenzy, brushing his hands along the bushes until every one had been frozen into hard, shining, precious, priceless, glorious, golden gold. Skipping and shouting with joy, Midas beheld what had once been a garden of rare roses and was now the most valuable treasure in all the world. He was rich. He was insanely, monumentally rich. No man on earth had ever been richer. The sound of his exultant shouts attracted his wife, who came out of the palace doors and stood looking down, their infant daughter in her arms. "Darling, why are you shouting?" Midas ran up to her and encircled mother and child in a tight hug of excited joy. "You won't believe it," he said. "Everything I touch turns to gold. Look, all I have to do is..." Oh. He stepped back to see that his wife and infant girl were now one fused golden statue glittering in the morning sun, a frozen mother and child group that any sculptor would have been proud of. "I'll attend to that later," Midas said to himself. "There must be a way to recover them. Dionysus wouldn't be so. Meanwhile, zim zam zoo! A guard on sentry, the great side door to the palace, and his favourite throne were now entirely gold. Vim vam voo! The side table, his goblet, his cutlery, solid gold. But what was this? Crack! His teeth almost broke on a hard golden peach. Tunk! His lips met metallic wine. Thwop! A heavy gold nugget that had once been a linen napkin crushed and bruised his lips. The unbounded delight began to fade as Midas realized the full import of his gift. You may imagine the rest. All at once, the thrill and pleasure of his ownership of gold were changed to dread and fear. All Midas touched turned to gold, but his heart turned to lead. No words of his, no shrieks of imprecation to the heavens, could return his cold, solidified wife and daughter to quick, warm life. The sight of his beloved roses dropping their heavy heads caused his own to bow in misery. Everything around him glinted and glittered, gleamed and glimmered with a gorgeous, gaudy, golden glow, but his heart was as grim and grey as granite. And the hunger and thirst! After 3 days of food and drink, turning to inedible gold the moment it touched him, Midas felt ready for death. Atop his golden bed, whose hard, heavy sheets offered no warmth or comfort, he fell into a fevered sleep. He dreamed of his flowers blooming back into soft, delicate life, his roses, yes, but most of all, the flowers that he now understood mattered most, his wife and child. In the wild, contorted dream, he saw the soft colours returning to their cheeks and the light shining once more in their eyes. As these beguiling images danced and flickered in his mind, the voice of Dionysus boomed inside him. "Foolish man! It is fortunate for you that Silenus is so fond of you. Only for his sake do I show you mercy. When you awaken in the morning, betake yourself to the river Pactolus. Plunge your hands in its waters, and your enchantment will be dissolved. Whatever you wash in the fast-flowing stream will be restored to you." The next morning, Midas did what the voice in his dream had instructed. As promised, contact with the waters of the river relieved him of his golden touch. Mad with joy, he spent a good week shuttling back and forth, immersing his wife, his daughter, his guards, servants, roses, and all of his possessions in the river, and clapping his hands in delight as they returned to their valueless but priceless original state. After this, the waters of the Pactolus that wind around the foothills of Mount Tmolus became the single greatest source of electrum, a natural alloy of gold and silver, in all the Aegean.